Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Brothers Osborne, you are back in the UK. Here you are. Hello.
Hello, hello.
It's good to be here.
We just did a fun little thing. You played for like, what was that, 50 people in a studio in King's Cross?
It was a small gathering in there. We just thought we would kick it off. It's been a second since we've been over here. And last time we were here, it was like there's still a lot of distancing restrictions and weirdness.
COVID.
So
yeah,
I know it's like, dare we say. So yeah, it was nice. It was like fun to kind of get in here and kick off the weekend. You know, as we got the big show is coming up, but it's just a shake the dust off, get in gear.
I would think it would be a lovely little thing doing a small show like this. Like, you know, do you like looking them in the eye, or do you just like them being a mass of people?
Looking people in the eye sometimes it can be scary.
Overrated.
Scary. But honestly, you know, we grew up playing around the kitchen table, right? So
yep.
Doing these sorts of things is kind of what we did growing up. I actually quite enjoy it. When we do our big live show, big production, it has to go a certain way because of the production and a lot of other elements. It kind of forces you to go at a certain pace, right?
Mm.
These, it's like sometimes the song is a little fast today, but oh, screw it, it's fun. Or we can stop, or we can do things. We like that. You're going to get a different show every time.
Yeah.
Sometimes worse, sometimes better, but it's going to be different.
Collect them all.
So in some ways, I do prefer it.
Okay.
Where it's tough is like if there's one person that's like maybe not into it, which you know it happens. You're like when there's thousands of people, it's like you don't notice them. When
yeah.
you're here, you're like that is a large percentage of the room.
Yeah, 2%. That's 1% is 2%.
Guys, I was into it. I've just got a resting bitch face.
That's
so,
all good.
Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what though? That happens often. Sometimes I think people are bored and they end up being the ones at the end that are like the most. Complimentary. I don't know if they were out of body or what the heck
resting
is going
board
on.
Face.
Resting board face. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But I mean, we've all. You know, you must have seen yourselves at times where you were like, you know, watching something that you were super into, and you've either seen your reflection or somebody's taking a picture, and you think like, oh my God, is that what I look like
oh,
when I'm watching
every
something?
Day.
All the time.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every day.
So I think it's fine. It's fine. They were really into it. I'm sure.
Yeah. Anytime I take a picture and someone's like, here. Do you like yourself in this? I'm like, honey, like I have so many bad pictures of me that are on the internet. I don't care at this point. If you're happy with it, it's fine with me.
I'm always amazed by those people who have clearly worked on their photo face. And
yes.
They just look great. And every one of them, I'm like, who has this time?
I don't know. I mean, my wife stopped asking me to take pictures of her about 10 years ago.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm just like holding that point and I click, right? I don't know. Apparently, I'm not doing it right.
Well, the thing for me is I don't smile a ton in photos. Some will say smile. I'm like, well, if you gave me something to smile about, I gladly would. But the other thing is if you're taking lots of pictures, like if you're at a meet and greet, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
I can get a smile in like two or three of them, and then it starts like slowly morphing into
you gotta
like
lick
a
your lips
crazy
at some
face
point. Yeah.
That you look nuts. And
yeah, you're dead behind the eyes,
yeah,
but
and
you're
so
smiling.
I'm like, I just start off. I mean, I'm going to start out dead behind the eyes, and then that'll just be consistent.
It's so great to have you guys back in the UK because you guys seem to have a nice little love affair with the UK. I mean, we certainly love you. You guys seem to have a little love affair with the UK. We've talked before about how kind of open the UK crowd is. And I mean, it's kind of a second home.
It is.
Least.
Yeah, my wife's a Brit.
Yep.
We just had kids, so technically they are dual citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the odd one out. I'm just the lonely.
You're the only one not allowed here.
Yeah, the only one that's not supposed to be here. But yeah, so it's like I'm very much tethered to this country. And then us coming here for so long and, you know, to be honest with you, the first time we played here, I did not think it was going to go well. I mean...
You did it?
No, I just thought, like, why would they like this kind of music? We didn't know any better.
And is this when you opened up for the Collect 3?
Well, this was when we did C2C originally. Oh,
okay, okay.
That was our first show here. And I was just like, I don't know, this is going to be really strange, but people seem to like it. We'll do it. And we were, like, the first or second of the day, quick 30-minute set, and it was incredible. Like, I was completely blown away by the audience response, and that was the moment we were like, okay, let's make this a habit.
And you have, and you keep coming back.
Just like all of our other habits.
This one feels more healthy.
Sometimes. The jet lag is real, though.
It's nice that we're here and up, off and going. I will say it's almost like, I don't know if you ever had a thing where you're like, you're going to take a vacation, and there's a moment where you're like, oh, I just kind of maybe I don't want to do it.
Oh yeah,
I just want to stay here or something.
Yeah, because the process of actually getting there
is, gives you a little like, oh, it's such a thing. And here it's like it's a long flight, time change, all the stuff.
Yeah.
But once we're here and we're rolling, I'm like, okay. And I just have to remind myself every time. I'm like, oh, do I want to do this? And then, it's always the first show. It's like, oh, of course. Like, why was I ever doubting this?
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad you want to. But yeah, I mean, that's a universal thing. I think, you know, there's a build up to something, whether it's a show, whether it's a vacation, whether whatever it might be. And there's always a moment where you're like, do I really have to? Like,
every time. I talk myself out of everything.
Do you?
But it's good. Honestly, it's good just not think about it. You just like, okay, this is happening on this day. I'm not going to think about it until I am. Like in the TSA line, and that's when you start thinking about it, you know. Otherwise, there's just a million reasons to psych yourself up, and just it's not worth it.
No, it's true. It's true. Well, I'm glad you guys, you know, thanks for making the effort. Thanks for overcoming.
You're absolutely welcome.
thanks for overcoming your negative Nancy voice and coming over to play for thousands and thousands of fans
in
a different country.
That's the good part.
Did you guys have wanderlust when you were kids growing up in Maryland? Were you kind of like, did you want to see the world?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I don't know. Growing up as kids, I mean, it's, you know, we came from a small town, so the smallest thing seemed like the biggest thing.
Like, how small are we talking?
4,500 people.
Yeah.
And it's, but, you know, if we went to some place, like a city, it seemed like, Nashville, when I first moved there, was like 400,000, 450,000 people. Now it's almost tripled since I've lived there. But I felt when I first moved there, it felt like I went to New York City. Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it was just overwhelming.
Yeah.
I could have never have come to London in that age. I'd have been like so overwhelmed. But I love like here also the transportation. Being able to jump on a train or like the underground is such an amazing thing here. And it's so easy.
Yeah, public transport's great. I mean, yeah, it's easy until you use it every day.
Well, yeah. I mean, then it uses you.
But please continue looking at it through rose colored
glasses. No, I mean, I'll say when I look in there, I'm like, oh, it's an hour car drive or 20 minutes.
You're right, though. We do take it for granted. Like stuff like that. The fact that you can, you know, not have a car.
I tell you,
the train comes every few minutes.
Well, it's all about where you are, you like to get the right perspective. So when my wife moved to Nashville, initially, we weren't married at the time, but she would go, hey, got invited to go somewhere out in Franklin or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 30-minute drive. But 30-minute drive is kind of a long distance-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, it's a 30-minute drive. She's like, it's a 30-minute drive to get across the street in London. I'm like, okay, fine,
yeah,
we'll go.
True.
Then after 2 years of her being there, I'm like, hey, do you want to go to Third Lindsley? She's like, oh, it's like 15-minute drive. I'm like, see, I told you. It gets you.
You're like, I got everything I need in my neighborhood.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Dude,
yeah,
I 100%. Need to go. I mean, it's like here, I live in South London, going to West London. I'm like, oh my Lord, please.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
We're spoiled, basically. I think there's the.
But
the
going back to Wanderlust, as you asked earlier, there was a bit of that. I could not wait to get out of our hometown. Nothing wrong with our hometown. It's just, you know, I was excited to see the world and get to Nashville and go. I started at Belmont at 18, at Belmont University, and I was excited for that. And then hitting the road and traveling. We have done so much traveling in the last decade plus, and I'm grateful for it. But man, it's just every year feels a little better to be at home.
Yeah,
and there's it's just now that we have kids, I do miss them when we're out on the road. So it gets a little harder. But what makes it worth it is when we're on stage, it's good. It reminds you, okay, this is what we do it for.
Yeah.
You just unfortunately, you always have that kind of feeling of like, oh, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And the second you walk out there, you're like, oh, this is exactly where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the weird thing about performing is that it's like such a small amount of what you actually end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly traveling, and you get a lot of time getting to places. And then once you're there, when you get on stage, it's like, okay, well, this is the payoff is amazing, but it's only whatever, an hour and 90 minutes, and then it's over.
Yeah, you're like, I still have to take my liquids out of the bag.
Yeah.
Take my shoes off.
Right, exactly.
Is there a, your hometown, you're saying it's small, is there a sign that says home of Brothers Osborne as you're driving in.
Yeah,
yes.
There is.
Yes.
It's in front of the firehouse, the fire department.
Okay.
Which is like, that was like the central location. If anything went down, if there was an event, it was at the firehouse, you know?
Right.
And if there was like the carnival coming to town, it's at the firehouse. Okay. So yeah, it's quite a centrally located spot. And it's amazing. You know, there have been some other signs put up, but they are very proud, you know, and of us, and we're proud of that town. It's funny, when you are 18, you just want to leave that place.
Oh yeah.
But the older you get, the more you're like, that's just, I am that place. You know?
I'm like that as well when I go back home. Yeah, I couldn't wait to get away from it, and now I'm like,
I know, you get back there and it's like, oh, everything's so cozy. It's smaller than you remember, but like in a better way.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Deal.
We have a song that actually that's coming out of this next EP that it's called Back Home. And the kind of the idea of it is, you know, everyone says, well, back home, there's this and that and back home, but that makes me want to go back home. And I think the whole song is seeing it kind of through a new optic, where all of the things I used to hate is everything that makes me love it now.
Mm.
And it is small and it is slow and it's, everyone knows everybody. And, you know, and I do definitely miss that type of lifestyle.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this song. I think I'll relate to this very much.
Well, it's a really chill track. It turned out really good.
Let's talk about the EP, because album, EP. And it's, you just had extra songs. You keep writing. You said earlier that you overwrite things, and this is just about kind of, it's a little bit about not playing the game of like, oh, we've got to wait this long to do an album cycle. We've got to wait this long.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I think just a response to the fans are always wanting music more. And even though to us, sometimes it feels like, well, we just released all these songs.
Yeah.
You know, from the perspective of the fans who are consuming music so fast, plus they're fans of 100 other people that are also releasing lots of music. And so for us, we're like, let's just try to be a little bit more, I guess, nimble, if you want to call it, be able to put songs out kind of more as they come to us. Because there's been some times where we've had songs that we're like, wow, I love this so much. But then, you know, 2-3 years goes by and it's like, well, I don't relate to that song that much anymore. And now I've got to
sing it every night.
And then it goes away. Or it just never exists.
Oh, right. I got you.
And so, you know, I think here, it gives us a lot more to call and response to the fans faster.
Yeah. And also, it's just the way we consume music now, right?
That's how I consume music. Totally. Yeah.
Technical reason why you can't just put it out when it's ready.
I completely agree. We live in an era where things can come out in an instant. I mean, technically, if you wanted to, without even going into a studio, on your phone, if you have an iPhone, you have GarageBand.
Yeah.
And all you need is the little earbuds that connect with the microphone. You could record a track on your iPhone. I mean, there's a few Kendrick Lamar tracks that were recorded on the phone, and you could put it out that day, technically, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you could distribute it to the DSPs or whatever, but you could put it on Instagram, like you can get it out to the public. So we live in a very immediate culture. And in some ways it's tricky because you want to make sure that what you're doing is great and you want to take your time. But at the same time, if what you just did happens to be great and you love it, you can just get it out there. And so I think it's time to kind of to shift the paradigm a bit, and I'm kind of excited for that.
Younger Me, first Grammy, so exciting.
Yeah, I know. It felt very serendipitous.
And also super validating as well, not just for you and you know, your coming out, but also I think for loads of country fans who are like, oh yeah, I belong to country music as well.
Yeah.
The industry going, yep, tell your truth. I mean, it seems like finally there's a crack of light in country music specifically, and I don't just mean about sexuality.
No, I mean it's voices. Definitely by far is the most diverse it's ever been. And I mean, you could easily make the argument that it still has a lot more to go. Sure. However, I do feel like people have been trying to challenge that. And I think most people have kind of stepped up to the plate to kind of go at some hard truths. And, what I say sometimes even, not that we don't have room to grow here in country, but there's also some other genres of music where, you know, it could easily in its own ways.
And segments of society in general.
Whether it's sexist or whatever it is, and everyone always, for whatever reason, country is always kind of the whipping post for a lot of people in music. And I think for us coming here, that's why it's so, I think, so important that we get to come over You know, I hate to say across the pond. That's such an annoying term.
Say the foreign fields, which is what my mother always called
the foreign fields. Field. I love that.
But I think it's what's so important that we get to come here and show people what's going on and what's happening. And you know, and just to reference that song, you know, that was something that we were able to put out quickly. And I think had we missed the window with that, we put out 3 years later, I don't see it having the emotional connection that it had when it was out at the time of me going through my thing, John going through the stuff that he was going through at the time.
Yeah.
It just seemed so more biographic than just a song. And it was written from a place of like, I want to say this. I don't know if anyone wants to hear it. I have to speak this. And
yeah.
And it was from such a real place. And so I thought, you know, we've been very lucky to have been nominated many times, but I felt like that was just, it was really just perfect that was the one that finally broke the losing streak for us.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Just finally, we're doing a doc on the Grand Ole Opry because it's 100 next year.
Yeah.
So can you reflect on your Grand Ole Opry debut? Do you remember
terrifying
the Grand Ole Opry debut?
Yeah, our Grand Ole Opry debut was terrifying. Even though we had a bit of an advantage, we had performed it with some other people, done a lot of other things.
I know. How do we approach that? Because John and I, the first time we actually played the Grand Ole Opry was us backing up a bluegrass artist named Alicia Nugent. I was playing upright bass. He was playing guitar. And so, although it was kind of weird when we finally had our debut, it was a big moment for us, but we also were like, well, we've played on the stage many times already, but it didn't, you would have thought that would have helped. I was like terrified. I was like, oh my God, it's so, I don't know what it is. It's an intimidating stage to play.
But it's so lovely. Like I've seen, obviously we've done our debut and I've played with other people that have done their debuts. And, you know, we have a lot of friends that have done it where I've been there. And they are so warm and welcoming. It's actually very, very nice. It's terrifying because, you know, especially they have the circle from the original Ryman stage where everyone stepped on, and it's very powerful. And it's very important in your career. But the people there are very lovely. The people that run the Opry are so kind. They're so welcoming. It's so casual backstage. There's never like, all right, 3 minutes and you're up. 2 minutes. It's just like, oh, just stand over here for a second.
Yeah, super laid back, and everybody with their dressing room doors open. Yeah.
I know, and it's so fun. I guess because that show goes on, you know, I mean, they do it every day.
Yeah.
So when you go and do like the CMAs or something, like, we need you here. You're going on in 20 minutes. You're like, 20 minutes? Like, oh my God. You know, they're sometimes at the Opry, they're so laid back that I'm like, is anyone going to come get us? Like, we're going to show up and you do.
Literally.
It's just, it all works out.
You're just having some sweet tea and lemonade.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah.
And I've always found that the crowds, because they're different. They're mostly from out of town. They're tourists.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool for them to witness someone's debut at the Grand Ole Opry, which is a very important thing for that artist. And I don't know, you feel like you feel like they're rooting for you. So it on one hand, it is terrifying because it's a very momentous occasion in your career. But on the other hand, it's as warm as it could ever be.
Yeah, I always say it's one of the few places anybody is excited to go to any gig, right? Like they bought a ticket, they want to go. The Grand Ole Opry is like the people who are there in the audience. Sometimes they're as excited as the people playing because they also have had a dream for years to go to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually.
You know, they have saved up their money. They've traveled in a car for whatever, 10 hours. You know, that's their big trip to Nashville. They're going to the Grand Ole Opry. They've dreamed about it. So their excitement is almost equal to the excitement on stage, which I think is really nice.
And it really does help, I think. It helps with, you know, the jitters. And you look out there and it's like your moment. All eyes are on you. It's different than a gig because a gig, you sound check and you prepare and you have the set and you have this whole thing. You're going out there, you get 3 songs, you got to wow the audience and you feel like there's a lot of pressure.
And it's all going live to radio, so you're like, if I bomb here, this is like, you can't just take this one back. Like, this one didn't.
Yeah.
You can have some bad shows when you're out on the road, and you're like, no one will ever know this happens.
Yeah.
The Grand Ole Opry, it's like, I mean, you're literally, the spotlight's right on you. And then when it's your debut, it's like, you know, you're doing interviews, everyone's like, waiting to see what you're going to do. So you feel lots of pressure to turn it on. But that's just things that happen throughout your career, and I feel like when those moments happen, you know, they help you rise up. But also, I mean, if you're asking me, like, what I remember, it happens like this. Like, you walk out there, they say Brothers Osborne, and you're like, holy crap, I'm here. And then suddenly you feel like you take a breath and you're walking back off stage.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's almost a blackout moment.
Thank you, guys. Lovely to see you. Always a pleasure. Always a joy.
Yeah. Likewise.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.